It seems scarcely possible to suppose that she who conceived, and I'm not reading to you the commentary of a Protestant theologian, I'm reading you the text defined by Pope Pius XII. It seems scarcely possible to suppose that she who conceived and bore Christ, who nursed him with her own milk, was after this life on earth separated from him in body. And even though not in soul, since our Redeemer is the Son of Mary, he could not fail to honor, besides his eternal Father, his most beloved Mother. He had to do it. In fact, since he was able to do her so great an honor, we must believe that he actually did so. He was able to do her so great an honor. We must believe that he actually did so. We are in an entirely different world. When we discussed scripture and tradition, we could still go to biblical passages and discuss together. When we looked at the primacy of Peter, we could still, Roman Catholics and ourselves, look at biblical passages together, you know. But here, we are in an entirely different realm. It's an emotional realm. There is no biblical ground for what it... But remember, they have the authority as successors of the early apostles to determine what was part of the deposit of faith and not discern until then. And therefore, the document goes on, like her son before her, having conquered death, she carried up in body and soul to the celestial glory of heaven to reign there as queen at the right hand of her son. Therefore, we declare and define, as two of the words, we declare and define as a dogma revealed by God that the Immaculate Mother of God, ever Virgin Mary, on the completion of her course of her early, of the course of her earthly life, has been taken up in body and soul to the glory of heaven. As I said, where is the biblical ground? We are here dealing with issues that no longer belong to the biblical material. And I tell you, one wonders if this has reached its end. I could read to you into the Catholic Catechism if you like to. I even brought it along, but I don't think it's necessary after reading these two documents. The Catholic Catechism says, look, the two are so close to each other, Jesus and Mary. We don't know if this is the end of the process. There are some people who are trying to bring Mary to become co-mediatrix. That is to say, to make Mary and co-redemptrix. Because redemptor is the masculine form in Latin. Redemptrix is the feminine of redemptor in Latin. Mary cannot be redemptor, she has to be redemptrix. But in English it's make Mary co-redeemer. And you will find in the Catholic Catechism that the similarity goes even further. Maybe I should read it to you, you know, but let me just give you the substance of it. Through one woman, death came to this earth. You can guess the rest of the equation, huh? Through another woman, life, with an uppercase L, life came back to this earth. And you will find in the documents of Vatican II and in the Catholic Catechism, you will find the statement, Mary is the second Eve. Now, if Christ is the second Adam and Mary is the second Eve, what does it make then? Can you tell me? If Jesus is, I'm asking the question, not the Catholic hierarchy, of course, but if Jesus is the second Adam and Mary is the second Eve, what does it make them together there? We do not know where the process will end. But one thing is sure, that given the fact that there is very little room for a Roman Catholic to maneuver on the basis of the scriptures, there is embarrassment on their part. And the more, and the very often, the least defendable a position is, the harder you hang on to it. It's a very simple psychological phenomenon. Now, what is most disturbing to me is how far we have departed from the scriptures. A very simple Mariology in the New Testament that is strictly factual without any theological speculation of any kind as to how Mary has a bearing on our salvation, which has developed on the basis of a definition of Mary as Theotokos at the Council of Chalcedon in 451, God bearer, and snowballed into what we have today in 2001. What worries me most is that this is taking away from the grace that is in Jesus Christ for the following reason. If Mary could be saved by taking the macula away, why doesn't God do that for everyone? Why did Jesus Christ need to die on the cross? Why? They find a complex kind of argumentation which is not very solid, but which satisfies Roman Catholics. I personally believe that the doctrine of Mary, the veneration of Mary, has been encouraged within Roman Catholicism by an erroneous Christology, an erroneous understanding of Christ. If you ask a Roman Catholic, you will discover that very few Roman Catholics believe that Jesus Christ was really human like as we are. I mean, they profess it, fully God, fully man. Oh, sure, they will recite it every Sunday, the Apostolic Creed, you know, sure they will. But when you talk with them, and not just the common Roman Catholic, you know, the grassroots, but even the priests, the theologians, they are very ill at ease that Jesus was really a human being, you know. Are you telling me that Jesus could be tempted? Talk to a Roman Catholic about the temptations of Jesus. There's no room for it. I mean, it's unthinkable. What would have happened if? We discussed here together a few years ago, if you remember, in what was my first seminar here, the temptations of Jesus. And we noticed how solidly biblical that event is, you know. This is really what not to a Roman Catholic. Jesus was God and human, but his divinity assumed so much the humanity. The humanity was so assumed by the divinity that he was hardly a human being. I mean, sure he was, but... And when you have a false Christianity and you need a mediator who cannot really understand you because he wasn't really fully human the way we are, to whom do you go if not the finest of all mothers who may have existed on this earth, Mary, the mother of Jesus? I happen to believe that an erroneous, at least a partially erroneous Christology has contributed to the development of Mariology. But it is time for us to understand that under John Paul II, who is a very devoted Marian servant, on his coat of arms, in the lower right corner, you will see the big M that stands for Mary. And you will see the two keys over the coat of arms, the two keys that Peter has received from Christ, which we looked at yesterday. We do not know where, in what direction the Catholic Church can still move. Some are discussing Josephology, the role of Joseph in the ministry of Christ. But we must make sure that we return to what is biblically solid, sola scriptura, built on the scriptures, what the scriptures tell us, and make sure that we understand the Catholic when we approach him. Tomorrow we shall discuss together, how do you approach a Roman Catholic to share with him the three angels' messages? How do you go about it, you know? But right now, what I wanted to discuss with you today, is the Catholic doctrine of Mary. Thank you for your attention. Do you have a question or two you would like to ask? I think we have ample time. It's 5:00. And those among you who do not want to stay for the question and answer session should feel free to go. I'm listening. We shall proceed from one section to the next. Yes, sister. And I will repeat the question.
I don't remember exactly what Peter said to Jesus, but Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Yes.
And after that, the Catholic Church, if Peter, he is supposed to be the first pope and everything, and here he has his, how would they get around that? So that's where the doctrine of purgatory came in.
This sister says, how can Peter be the first pope if Jesus one day told him, get behind me, Satan? Well, I wouldn't draw this kind of conclusion, but I must admit that it is an embarrassing passage. Let's try to deal with Mary this afternoon. Hmm? All right, over here. Yes, sister.
I feel that Jesus honored his mother, but he never glorified her.
I think you're right. Jesus honored his mother, but never glorified her in the way that it is that she's being glorified by the Catholic Church. I think you're very correct. Yes, sister.
And I have a question in regards to the role of the priest and the role of Mary. Don't they ask Mary to mediate to the Son for them when they repeat the Hail Mary? So then, what is the priest's role? Is the priest not also a mediator for them?
All right. The question brings in together Mary and the priests. I want you to know that although the priest, it's somewhat on the side of what you said, but your question brings it up. Although the priest repeats the sacrifice of Christ on the cross when he celebrates the Mass, the Eucharistic service, at the moment of the bread and wine are transformed into the body and blood of Christ, there is a spiritual recreation, remembrance and renewal of the sacrifice of Christ. He has a power that nobody else has on the basis of apostolic succession. But Mary is still of a superior order. It's very surprising there. Now, in answer to your question, you must understand that Roman Catholics believe that the good works you do in your life are intended to purge the guilt of your sinfulness. When you commit a sin, there are two punishments. The first punishment is the spiritual one, your guilt. You confess your sin, it's forgiven. Okay, God, this is your relationship to God. But then there is the bearing, the consequences, the temporal, on this earth consequences of the evil you have done, which you must expiate. And you expiate that by means of good works, or certain things which you are requested to do, so that you spend a shorter time, in purgatory, in which you purge that punishment, if you haven't had time to do it on earth. But since the saints, Jesus Christ first, I must be honest about that, Jesus Christ first, Mary and the saints, have done so many, many good works in their lives, they have done more good works that they needed to be saved. Those are the supererogatory works of the saint. Now those works are, as I would say, stored in a bank. And from that bank, the church has the right to withdraw checks. And when you can receive those benefits of the saints in order to spend either you less time in purgatory when you go, or your father and your mother, or your mother-in-law even, you know, up there in heaven, you know, they spend less time over there. So Mary mediates. That is, you pray Jesus, but Jesus is too far away. He's too much God. So you pray Mary or one of the saints to plead your case before God. And you can go through the priest or not through the priest, but normally you go through the priest and the priest intercedes for you and you obtain those indulgences or those merits of the saints that are there for your sake.
Does not try to communicate directly with Mary, asking her to intercede.
No, the Catholic Church says to Christ through Mary.
But you have to pay.
Yeah. You don't always have to pay. There are various ways. No, there are various ways of getting those indulgences. You can do good works. You can go on a pilgrimage. If you went last year to Rome, you have a plenary, as in called an indulgence, which covers all your sins until then, you know. But that, and then, or you can also ask masses. Ask the priest to offer masses for which you give him a stipend, and not as a salary, but according to Roman Catholic theology, in gratitude for what he's doing for you there and for your mother or your child. But it's not really a payment as we understand it. We say that, but it's not Catholic theology. All right, on this side, I'm sorry. Yes, sister.
Being taught that Mary, Enoch, and Elijah are the only people who never died. So they ascended, and we sang that she ascended and she was taken by the fire of fire.
Yeah.
And there is no forgiveness that can come until Mary has to play some role.
Yes, so you're right. It's very much so.
Go, your sins are forgiven. You go and say Hail Mary 100 times or 50 times. So I had, you know, you have on your knees and say, Hail Mary, you know, pray for us,
you know. Now, you know what Hail Mary means, do you? Do you know what that means, Hail?
Yes.
What does it mean?
She reigns. You know,
no. Hail Mary means greetings. Greetings, Mary, meaning literally, please hear me. It's a way of introducing yourself to Mary. Hail Mary is a translation of a Latin word which means simply, and in the Greek text too, is greetings Mary, meaning here I am, would you please listen to me. And if you pray Mary, that's correct, she can draw checks on that bank for you. And if you are sincerely penitent, she will do it. It is a very attractive approach to a sinful life, let me tell you. Now, supposedly, you are to go through a genuine repentance. Now, regarding one point you mentioned, Roman Catholics do not believe that Mary went to heaven without dying. Roman Catholics believe that that Mary died, but immediately was taken up to heaven. So, because since Mary has to be where Jesus is, and Mary has to do what Jesus does, short of redemption, Jesus died, Mary had to die too. And therefore Mary died just as Jesus did. But she was taken up immediately to heaven. Back to this side. Yes, brother?
Jesus spoke to the multitude and he said to them, here is my mother and brothers. And when he said this, not having heard any sermons on Mary. When he said this, I have to assume that he meant that Mary was just like the rest of the multitude.
I think you're right.
And this is in harmony. Speaking of the scriptures, all have sinned and come short of glory of God.
I think you're right. This is what I said. The Mariology of that particular passage is simply factual. This side, please. Yes?
If they believe that Mary died and then went straight to heaven, what did they do with Jesus committing Mary to the care of John?
If they believe that Mary died and went to heaven, what do they do with Jesus committing Mary to John? Well, he committed Mary to John until she would die for the rest of her life. And she's supposed to have died in Ephesus, where John lived, you know, according to the tradition. But if you go to Jerusalem, they'll show you in the Church of Domitian the place where Mary died. And when it ends, so there are conflicting traditions there, and so there are explanations. You'd be surprised. She died in one place, was taken to the other, and was taken up into heaven. It's very difficult to, because in one place she was surrounded by the apostles who came back for her death, you know, because they knew she would be dying. Mariology has developed so I could tell you very strange stories, but it is not my intention to sound derogatory at all. I think I need to be as fair and as objective as I possibly can, and then take a stand on the basis of the scriptures as to the validity of it. Okay? Over here? Yes, brother.
Well, with what you have said and the apparitions of Mary that we have heard, can't we see how Satan is preparing the way for coming as Christ?
Yeah, on the basis of what this good brother calls the aberrations regarding Mary, can't we see the way how Satan is preparing the ground for the end time? I think you're right, because it's becoming more of an emotional issue than anything else. The problem is that quite a number of Protestant theologians are reconsidering their understanding of Mary. And there are some alarming things there, because if you no longer believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that simply contains it, and that tradition has something to bring, then you go back to the Theotokos of Chalcedon, and my, we are open to all kinds of interpretations. Yes, Sheila?
Sir, I'm surprised that you did not say anything about Luke 11, 26 and 27.
No.
But you know, when people in Jesus' day tried to glorify Mary, he said no. You know, they said, blessed are the, you know, the person that bore you and the path that gave you suck. And he said no. Blessed are those who obey the word of God.
Yeah, yeah, but this is not a relationship between Mary and Jesus. They did not get together. This is why I stayed away from the other passages, to be as fair as possible.
But is that not a verse that we could use?
Oh, yes. In harmony with Mark 3. Who is my brother and my mother and my sister? You are very correct. Luke 11. You are very right. The other end there? Yes, sister. Would you say that again?
What do Catholics believe her role is in heaven? What is she doing in heaven?
What do Catholics say regarding the role of Mary in heaven? Mary is mediating. She is our intercessor. This is what Mary is doing in heaven. This is her major task. Maybe what I should do is to read to you a statement or two to that effect. I read here, these are the documents of Vatican II. You can get this in any Catholic library and even non-Roman Catholic library. The official series of the documents of Vatican II. Now let me read to you here what they say about Mary. And this is not Raoul Denneron's statement. This is what I find in the document Vatican II on the Church, the last chapter dealing with Mary. Here I read, and this is Article 62. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked by the Church, you see, invoked, that's her role. She mediates. She intercedes. The Blessed Virgin is invoked by the Church under the titles of, listen, advocate, auxiliatrix, which means the feminine form of providing help, auxiliatrix, adjutrix, which in fact means functioning as a judge, and mediatrix, and mediator. So, in answer to your question, what Catholics believe, this is what Catholics say, you know, that Mary, the Blessed Virgin, is invoked by the Church under the titles of advocate, auxiliatrix, providing help, adjutrix, ruling and deciding as a judge, and mediatrix. That's what she does. Over here?
I have a question about that answer. Mediator, in the sense, does she mediate with God or go to Jesus and try to get him to do?
Well, Roman Catholics will not deny. On the contrary, they teach that Jesus is the mediator. And that the role of Mary is she cooperates with Christ in the task of mediation. There is no attempt of depriving Christ from his role of mediator. It is to Christ that Mary owes her role. But she goes to God, to Christ, through Mary. So Mary goes to Christ who mediates for us. And she's also presented in Catholic theological writings as mediating herself immediately, because the saints are invoked to plead the case of believers in the presence of God. Remember, the scriptures speak of the Church of God on earth and in heaven. Remember? And on that basis, Catholics claim that there is a relationship between the Church of God on earth and the living souls in heaven, the saints who plead for us. All right?
How long were you a Catholic?
How long? I was baptized at the age of 20 and never was planning to be a priest. Some people think so, but that was not in my plan. No, I did not enter a seminary. I did not leave a Roman Catholic seminary. No. I was simply a Catholic, educated Catholic, who knew what he believed and who became an Adventist at the age of 20. All right, over here. Next door. Yes, sister. Well, no, they don't say that. Not yet. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is still very reluctant to describe Mary as redemptrix. You haven't found that among the four terms. Those are strong enough, you know. Auxiliatrix, she comes to your rescue. Adjutrix, which means she's a judge. And advocate and mediator, that's the role of Mary. But they have not called Mary redemptor. Some people try, but no. That's not been defined.
They're not talking about
it. Well, some would like to see it happen. But no. We cannot accuse the Catholic Church of teaching things that have not been officially defined. I don't think it is fair. We cannot suspect them of doing so. All right, back on this side. Yes, brother.
Mentioned about Vatican II gave her all the titles.
Yes.
Then, if all those titles are there, why are they moving now to make the final Marian dogma? What would be the difference?
We do not know in which direction they are going.
Say that
again. We do not know in what direction they are going and make a final dogma. We do not know. This is already a definition, and they want to add to that. We do not know how.
But then now they have high Mariology.
Yes.
And explained all of this in the Newsweek yesterday.
Sure. Yes, you're right. High Mariology are those four terms from the Vatican Council that I mentioned to you. But there are some who are not satisfied with that. They want to go beyond that. And they would like to make her co-redemptrix.
Now the Pope has already mentioned that.
Let's not get into the Pope business. It is not defined.
Yeah, so
that's all we need to know.
So then they're looking for the terminology.
Oh no, they are not looking for. They are wondering what will happen. Some are looking for, but others do not want it. And because we can say that this is what the Catholic Church teaches, we need to wait until in a council or in a papal definition it is declared. The Pope does not speak infallibly, as we saw yesterday, if you remember, every time he opens his mouth. He has to say that he speaks infallibly by using certain phrases. Yes?
In that we don't pray to Mary, how do the Catholics feel for us? Are we lost and pagans in their eyes?
Oh, the Roman Catholic Church thinks that we Seventh-day Adventists have lots of excellent things, that we can be saved, no doubt about it. We are brothers and sisters in the faith, but we are depriving ourselves from a certain amount of knowledge that would contribute to our walk to heaven. That's how they see it. They have the fullness of the revelation. We have revelatory elements, and we have the grace of Christ because we have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we belong to the soul of the Church, if not to the body of the Church. And we are depriving ourselves from blessings that are available by not accepting what they teach. Those blessings should help us to move closer to God. Yes, brother.
If Mary is healing people, when the statues weep and all that sort of thing, has a non-Catholic study been made of healings? Does it happen, or what goes on?
There are healings that are done in the world in the name of Mary. Lourdes is a very good example of it. Lourdes in France is a very good example of it. And there are other places. There is one about 10 or 12 miles from the place where I was born, that is famous in Western Europe, to Banneux, where the Pope himself came and paid a visit. I believe there are miracles, some at least, that are performed, but I believe there are more answers to the faith of the individual believer trusting God than an answer to a prayer to Mary. Has nothing to do with. I do not see how Mary could grant that, because Mary is in the great cemetery. She sleeps. She's not awake up there performing anything. She's sleeping. Even the apostles. Even the apostles. When shall they be with Christ? When they die? What did Jesus say? John 14, remember? I go and then. I go and prepare a place for you. And then what? And when I have prepared a place for you, I will come and take you with me. So until he comes back, they are not with him. And if they are not, Mary isn't there. And not much of a chance there. So I think God is at times, I'm not sure that I would attribute that to Satan. Maybe. But I think that God can answer the prayer of very honest and devoted, converted Roman Catholics, as well as he can answer the prayer of a Seventh-day Adventist. All right? Now, over here. Yes, sister.
I want to know, do you know what Marian theology, the Eastern Orthodox Church
has? Oh, the Orthodox Church believes almost exactly the same thing as the Roman Catholic Church, but they have not defined it dogmatically. It is widespread among them, but it is not part of the first seven ecumenical councils, which met up until approximately 750. But the popular belief is very similar to Roman Catholicism. And they practice it without having any dogmatic definitions. All right, the group over there, yes. No, I'm not planning to do that. No, because this is going into practices and superstitions of which official Roman Catholic theology is not responsible. This is the rosaries and processions and walking on your knees a half a mile. We have seen that recently, even my wife and I, people walking on their knees and their knees blooded, you know, to get into a particular church. I would not say that the Roman Catholic Church condemns that, but those are practices on the level of the grassroots that do not always understand well, and which very often embarrasses.
They don't have a position on that.
No, well, they have a position. They encourage it, but they don't like to define it. The rosary is a way of helping people to remember to pray so many times to Mary and so many times to the Father. So it helps a life of prayer. Well, that's all there is. Okay, yes.
Do the Catholics believe in universal salvation in the sense that Protestants also will be in heaven? They
no.
Just have to be in purgatory a lot
longer? No. Roman Catholics do not believe in universal salvation in the sense that anybody, anywhere, whoever he is, will be saved. But they believe that Protestants, Eastern Orthodox in particular, have enough element of the truth that they can make it to heaven, but with much greater difficulties than a Roman Catholic. But they do not believe in universal salvation. No. Yes, here? The last. Yes, the brother over there with the hair on the face. There. Okay. Oh, yeah, of course.
And it's many years ago because I've been in Adventist 25 years.
Yeah.
And it says in there, we should worship Mary as we worship Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The sister says, I have a book at home, a small book that I received when I was a Roman Catholic more than 25 years ago, that deals with Fatima, which is one of those places where Mary is supposed to have appeared, and that is in Portugal. I was there a few months ago. And in that book it is clearly stated that Catholics should worship Mary as they worship Jesus because they are one. Now, I'm not saying that there are some Roman Catholic books who say some foolish things about Roman Catholicism. Like there are some Adventist books who say very strange things about Adventist beliefs. They have no monopoly. There are some excessive Adventists who attribute to Adventism things that we do not believe, and there are some Catholics who, in their zeal and fanaticism for Mary, will say things which the official church does not really endorse. No, I would not worry about it. If you want to know what the Catholic Church says, I would go right away to the Catechism of the Catholic Church or to the documents of Vatican II, or listen to more recent statements coming from the Pope. And even those are not necessarily the final word, as long as they have not been defined infallibly. Right? Back to this side. Yes, sister.
I just wondered, I read this too, and I don't know if it's kosher or not, but they said that Roman Catholicism believes that the woman of Revelation 12 is Mary.
And that's what I said here at an earlier stage today. Yes.
The
woman of Revelation 12, standing on the moon, lightened by the sun, and they say, crushing the head of the serpent, that's how you will find the statue, is Mary. They put the two together.
Yeah.
That is Mary. Oh yes, they very clearly say. Now, other theologians will not hesitate to say it is the church, but the common belief is that it is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. All right, over here. Next group, the last one. All right, let us stand and have a word of prayer before we separate. Our Father in heaven, we have so many things to learn, and we are eager to find out things about what others believe so that we may be able to understand and to approach them, Father. Now, we ask you, Father, to help us grasp, even if we do not agree, even if we cannot understand how people can come to conclusions of that kind. Help us to understand how error has so easily crept regarding the mother of Jesus in such an abundant diversity of teachings regarding Mary within the Roman Catholic Church. Help us to understand that, Father. Help us also not just to laugh at it, but to understand that this is very close to the heart and the life of many Roman Catholics. And give us patience and kindness. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.